Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning, and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Hi there, and good morning. I'm Lynette, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. A lot of calls coming in. We're going to dive right into them. I've been talking about prostate cancer, testosterone, and also breast cancer and estrogen today. But we will talk about whatever you would like to, and the phone lines are available at 206-421-5757. We're headed to Gig Harbor. Rob on the line. Hi there, Rob.
Hello, Rob.
Welcome back to the show.
Sorry to keep pestering you guys.
That's okay.
It's okay.
I'm the 80-year-old, a speck of prostate cancer. I forgot to throw in the BRCA2, and I don't know if that makes any difference with me using testosterone, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. I had forgotten about that. Yes. Okay. Yeah, did you get the emails that I wrote about your case?
I did listen to you the other day on the radio, and I will be seeing Dr. Jimenez. I'm assuming she has those emails.
Yeah, I was hoping they would send, because what happens is you ask about it, and the customer service people sent me a request. And generally, when I respond, the customer service sends an email back to you, and I send one directly to your doctor. So Dr. Jimenez should have it.
I will call them on Monday.
Yeah, because I talked about the studies on BRCA2 as well as your situation. The thing that makes me lean towards testosterone with you, despite whatever, is your age, the fact that you're 80.
Yeah. Jerry, I'm going to live to be 100. I want you to know that.
Okay, well, I want you to live to be 100 in a robust and thoroughly scandalous manner, right?
And Dr. Umat and I just want you to be happy and healthy.
Yeah, right.
To be able to row competitively internationally as I do now at 85, 90, and 100.
Good for you, yes.
Yes. Wow.
I found the happiest men are those who scandalize the women. So...
He's happy rowing, Jerry.
Yes, he likes rowing.
I hope I'm doing that too, Jerry.
All right. Yeah, you know, if the girls of the world disapprove of me, I figure, okay, we're in fine shape. I should change that to the wives of the world.
So, anyway, you know, I was talking about privacy in the office, about putting curtains, and he goes, well, I'm a showman anyway. I don't want privacy. What privacy?
I don't know. I have made a conscious decision about my own lifespan. And because just as with testosterone and prostate cancer, there are conflicting data on longevity.
Mm-hmm.
The data is clearly showing that in the animal studies, if we cut the animals down dramatically in their calorie intake, they live longer. You know, you can extend an animal's lifespan by starving them significantly. The downside is they get skinny. They stop trying to reproduce. They get kind of puny and they move slow and they're not terribly energetic.
They're stressed, right?
They're stressed, yeah. But they live longer because their tissues are turning things over more slowly. And so you get fewer senescent cells being produced because you're not driving things, cells, to the end of their reproductive lifespan because you slowed the whole process down with low calorie load. Mm. And so, you know, there are doctors that are recommending a very, very tight, low calorie diet for humans because based on the animal studies, we should live a lot longer if we are calorie poor. Mm. On the other hand, the things that give us high turnover and large amounts of strength and energy and enthusiasm and muscle mass are things like our growth factors and our testosterone and anabolic hormone loads. They make all of us grow faster, which in theory should shorten our lifespan somewhat. I mean, if you look at the bodybuilders, the guys who take these massive overdoses of testosterone and growth hormone, you know, they have muscles on their muscles on their muscles. They've got to eat 12 and 15,000 calories a day just to maintain their body size. Otherwise, they start to shrink. Mm. But they tend to die in their 50s and early 60s. Because they have put everything in such overdrive. They die sooner.
Right. Okay.
So for me personally, how do I get the best of both worlds? You know, I want to live and enjoy my life as long as I can, but I want to enjoy my life as long as I can. And so I kind of come up with a hybrid, you know. I don't eat dinner. I have a nice, robust breakfast. I have a good lunch. Sometimes it's a few hours late. I may not eat till 2 or 3 in the afternoon, but then I don't eat again until the next morning. So I do the intermittent fasting on a daily basis, and yet I keep my growth factors, my testosterone, my dehydroepiandrosterone, pregnenolone, all my anabolic hormone load at a very robust young man's level. And so what I'm trying to do is decrease the inflammatory markers. I treat my senescent cells, my worn out cells aggressively with dasatinib and rapamycin. But I like being strong, fast, lean, and smart. And my wife swears sexy. Mm-hmm. Actually, she tells me she's going to have to hire help if I get any sexier. But that's a different issue. reality.
No. Doctor, you met it, now you're blushing.
life is a series of balances. And, you know, we all have to make our choices of what is most important to us. Mm. I want people going to my funeral saying, "My God, what happened? I saw him last week on a ski trip." You know, he was doing the moguls and having a great time. I don't want him coming to my funeral saying, "Oh God, isn't it a relief the old guy finally got to go?" You know,
he'd been suffering for so long.
He was so miserable those last 5 years in the nursing home. I'm not afraid of dying. I just want to live while I'm alive. And so I make different choices for my life than some of the other guys do. That's all. But I think you need to have the knowledge so you can make conscious choices of what it is you're deciding to do.
Fair enough. All right. Is that helpful for you, Rob?
So the BRCA2, go ahead and use that for that testosterone.
If I recall that, I'd have to go back into my email because I had the papers in front of me. But if I recall properly, I gave it a conditional go ahead.
Right? Okay.
But I think we were also talking in that email about the dasatinib therapies and so on, about addressing your senescent cells
and rapamycin.
Yes. So I think we talked about, I think I pulled studies on rapamycin and dasatinib and prostate cancer on all of them. And as I recall, the longevity therapies in the case of BRCA positive and castration resistant prostate cancer There was one patient who got significantly better, and the others in the study didn't get any worse. So some of the people, even with a castration-resistant prostate cancer, actually responded to the rapamycin by shrinking their tumor.
Rapamycin,
most of the studies show that rapamycin does indeed inhibit the growth of prostate cancers. So between the rapamycin and the tadalafil, and with some intermittent therapy with the dasatinib, I think your situation is probably an okay. But can't give you guarantees because there's just not enough people with your situation to have valid statistics available to us. So we're kind of flying by the seat of our pants and taking our best guess.
Like you say, stack the deck in your favor and take your chances. And
I
appreciate your clarity of explanation, Jerry.
All right. Take care, my friend.
Thank you, Rob, and call anytime.
Good luck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you'd like to get through to Dr. Mixon and Dr. Umat this morning, 206-421-5757 is the number to call. We have some calls ready to go. Let's at least get to the question with Steve calling in from Bellevue. Then we'll take a break and come back and talk about it. Hi there, Steve. Welcome to the show. Good morning. Oopsie.
Oh, dear.
Okay. All right, Steve, we dropped you accidentally. We're going to go to a break right now. Maybe we can get you back
and
on.
Call right back in.
Yep.
Engineer fellow will take care of it.
There we go. 206-421-5757. Back with more Leading Edge Medicine next.
Kill for his
love.
I love this voice. Have you seen this movie yet this year? This is my Christmas wrapping, present wrapping movie because I've seen it a million times. But I love having it. And if I step out of the room, I don't miss something.
I usually don't share personal stories, but I'll share this one. We're talking about the vocal cords. So you all know that my husband is of Indian origin, but he didn't actually grow up in India. He grew up in North America. He grew up in Canada. And so he knows our language, but he hasn't grown up watching the songs or the lyrics or following the singers. But on my birthday at a get together, he actually sang me a love song.
I love that. Good for him.
Oh my gosh. I was so touched.
Go for it, Sunil.
So talking of vocal cords. Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
I was so touched. He's never heard it, you know, outside of us talking about it. And so I was like, oh my gosh, that is so touching.
Yes.
Do we get to guess the song?
Well, it talks about you were brought on earth for me. So it's like
an Indian song.
An Indian song.
Beautiful.
In Hindi. Yeah.
So, okay. So there's not a very good literal English translation of most Hindi songs.
There isn't.
That's so sweet.
Yes.
Okay. An idea for you next time, Dr.
There
Mixon.
You go. Christmas present.
My problem.
You can have Sunil sing to your.
Yes.
No, wait.
We can do that. I'll pay Sunil to come sing.
Dr. Hume.
Hindi song.
Hindi song.
I wish I could sing. I love to sing, but I've got a very limited range, you know, and
I bet there's something you could do for that.
Those few notes that I can hit properly, I sing with gusto when they come by. But there's just too few of them.
Too few. All right. Well, let's just travel on over to Bellevue. Okay. By the way, this is Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette, and we have both doctors in the studio, Dr. Umat and Dr. Mixon. And on the line from Bellevue, Steve. Welcome to the show, Steve. Glad to have you back.
Hello, Steve.
Thank you. Thank you. Hello. So to make a long story short, about 2 years ago, I had a cyst on the back of my neck. And I was going to the doctor to be treated for high blood pressure. It was hypertension level 1. And just recently, and then it dropped. My blood pressure dropped after the cyst was removed. And then just recently, I've been noticing hypertension issue, you know, the symptoms of hypertension. And so a coworker of mine did a blood pressure test, and it was really high. It was like 110 or something of that nature. And my wife has noticed that I have a cyst on the back, on my back shoulder blade as well. Could those be correlated?
Boy.
Wow.
You know, I mean,
interesting question. There,
well,
unless there's a vascular connection.
Or a pheochromocytoma.
Yeah. Well,
no,
but then he would know that by now,
well,
wouldn't
he? Well, he would think.
Yeah.
And besides, I've never heard of a pheochromocytoma in the skin.
Yeah.
Those are usually intra-abdominal.
Yeah.
What we're talking about, there is a particular type of tumor called a pheochromocytoma. And I see Lynette trying to write that down because she likes to learn big words.
I do.
My friend actually had a pheochromocytoma.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's one of those things I learned about in medical school and I've never actually seen in real life.
Yeah.
And now Lynette's going to Google it so she can see what it is. Okay.
These are tumors that produce adrenaline. And they cause high blood pressure, you know.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so obviously for them, the fix for the high blood pressure is to get the tumor out
right.
and get the adrenaline levels down to normal levels.
Mm-hmm. But not a skin lesion, though.
But I've never heard of a skin lesion cause hypertension.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, it happened on your neck.
It did. It was weird. I didn't even know it was there, and it was just kind of sore. And then one evening, it actually started to drain. And so I went to an emergency clinic, and I literally could feel my body change after they removed it. And it was very interesting. I don't know if it was correlated or not. So I went to the doctor the next day, and my blood pressure was down by 20 points.
Wow.
And she was really kind of surprised by it. Unfortunately, she's no longer practicing medicine. She quit. I'm starting a whole new doctor, a whole new regimen and everything else. They wanted me on high blood pressure medicine, but it made me feel really weird. Mm. And so I kind of had to stop doing the high blood pressure medicine. I've been taking Super Beats as a supplement, you know, that kind of thing. And I go to the gym every day, you know, three to five times a week. You know, I run a mile or, you know, whatever the case may be. But just started noticing it on my back. And so I've got an appointment in January. And I was wondering if it was definitely correlated or what the issue is, because now I'm back to hypertension levels again on blood pressure.
Yeah, I have never heard of a skin lesion causing hypertension, but you know, just because I don't know about it doesn't mean it's not true. The universe does not depend on my understanding to exist. Right? I learned that a long time ago. A lot of things in this world I don't understand, and others I disapprove of, and I have to bring that up with God when I get a chance. But right now, I have to do it His way. Don't know. The fact that it resolved last time, I think is fascinating, and it makes me think that it has to be possible. If it happened before, it could happen again.
Mm.
I just can't think of the mechanism or the tumor type.
Yeah.
Okay. You know? Yeah, I guess I'll learn more about it in January when I go to have it removed.
Yes. Well, and you know, if it's,
or whatever the case may be.
Yeah,
you
know, if it's just a sebaceous cyst or something, that's one thing. But if it's a solid lesion, a solid tumor that they take out intact, you know, have them send it to the pathologist and see what it is. Because while pheos are normally found inside the belly, I guess there's no law the universe says they can only be inside the belly. Who knows?
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, I'll call back in and let you know what happens.
That would be nice, yes.
Tell us. That will be very interesting.
Okay.
I
learn a lot from my show.
Yeah. Tell us what happens. Yeah, we'd be interested.
I definitely will.
I know my late sister.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I think he went away.
Okay.
Oh, we lost him.
All right.
He was saying something about his parents.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, we got
all right.
Another call. So.
We sure do. We are going to head to Tukwila, and we have Larry on the line with his question. Larry, welcome to Leading Edge Medicine.
Hello, Larry.
Yes. I've noticed you had several callers with cancer, various kinds of cancer calling in. And there are a couple of things I'd like you to comment with your knowledge, and but first I'd like to mention that I only have 889 years to go to beat Methuselah's record.
Well, darn, you got a good start.
Yes.
See, now, Samara's sitting here raising her eyebrows because being Hindu, she doesn't know Methuselah.
Yes, the oldest man in the Bible.
Biblical story of a man who lived.
Yeah. How many years?
How long did Methuselah live? He make it to... To what?
900 and something,
but I don't know what.
9 years.
969.
That's in about the middle of the book of Genesis, Old Testament.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Wonderful.
Well, if you're in the Methuselah Society, you should know those things, shouldn't you?
Well, they're in the Mensa Society.
No, there is a Methuselah Society that I joined.
And you do belong to it. You said that on the show.
And I do belong to the Methuselah Society.
Okay.
You're right, Jerry.
That's right. So, yes. But.
Okay, the two items I've read about, well, actually, one of them I heard you talk about. The two items are, I've recently read a report that ivermectin is very effective in some kinds of cancer. And of course, you talked about, I think it was ECGC from green tea a few weeks ago.
Uh-huh. Well,
I don't remember the long term of that chemical constituent of green tea. I understand it has to be cold brewed or raw green tea in order not to damage the ECGC.
Well, actually, no. You may lower the levels a bit. Most polyphenols are fairly heat stable, though. So I would not take it to a rolling boil, but hot water in and of itself doesn't damage the ECGC. So, but, you know, I do know people, Westerners, who try to make tea by throwing the tea in the teapot with the water and boiling it. And that's not to make a way to make a good cup of tea. Okay. You only need the tea bag hot in water for, you know, 10 seconds or so to get the good stuff out. But, you know, I tell people that are looking to get a high dose of ECGC, you don't have – first of all, it has to be green tea, not black tea. Black tea is fermented, and the fermentation process breaks up much of the ECGC. But on the other hand, the black tea is better for heart disease. The green tea is better for cancers. Mm. So if you want to cover them both, use both. You know, I've always put more than one tea bag in, put one green, one black, and
there you go.
Besides, I like the taste better.
Yeah.
Because the black tea has a more mellow taste and the green tea is a little sharp and acidic. But you don't even have to drink it. You can take that green tea, rip open the bag, sprinkle it on your vegetables, put it in your casserole, throw it on your green peas and your beans, throw it in your salad, add a little crunchy to your salads. You know, people who don't like to drink tea can still get this very, you know, healthy stuff in them. They just have to mix it in with their veggies is all.
Well, every morning, part of my routine includes about a tablespoon scoop, a big scoop of green tea, and I just eat it. I just chew it up.
Your body doesn't know whether it's being eaten or you know, distilled in the water or having an extract made. So, sure, whenever I have used it for people with prostate cancer and stuff, because ECGC has been shown in peer-reviewed studies to inhibit the growth of prostate cancers. And I just tell the guys, you know, throw it right in your salads and eat it along with your other veggies. So, no, works just fine. But by the way, the Methuselah Foundation's motto is we want to extend the healthy lifespan by making 90 the new 50 by 2030. So 90 the new 50. By 2030.
2030, that's just 7 years away.
7 years away.
Yeah, it's almost here.
That's what the foundation is working
on. There you go. 90, the new 50. Okay.
I love that.
That's
awesome.
Well, for me, 900 is the new whatever.
All right. Well,
there you go.
You see, you clearly are a far more pious man than I. So they need to get me up there quicker to kind of clean me up.
All right. Thank you for your call, Larry. Oh, all right. Taking a break, and we're back with Monica, Tim, and Charlie. This is Leading Edge Medicine, and we'll be right back. Stay right there.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It's the welcome back to the happiest show on the radio. It's Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette. Hi there. We're loving the Christmas music on Leading Edge Medicine. Dr. Jerry Mixon here, Dr. Samira Umat, and taking your calls. Headed to Kent right now, Monica is on the line. Hi there, Monica.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello, Monica.
Well, my question is, it goes a little bit about what Dr. Mixon was talking about earlier when he, you know, take a rapamycin and some other things. What do you recommend for people who are on medications that can raise their liver numbers? What do you recommend for balancing in that situation?
Well, there are some supplements.
Milk thistle.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously we need to know what caused it. And if you know that it is an offending drug, you want to lower the dose or stop taking the medication. Sometimes niacin will cause it. So supplements can also be culprits. And then I do recommend a liver cleanse to my patients. And then a large part of that is milk thistle. I give them about 320 milligrams of milk thistle daily, or maybe sometimes even higher.
So when you say a liver cleanse, if someone is doing something like that now, like caffeine type of thing, you would opt for milk thistle over caffeine?
Yes.
You
yes.
would?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Okay, got it. And so, because I know a lot of people take medications and they're beneficial in one way, but then they impact the liver another
Absolutely.
Way. And I just.
Sure.
So as far as, just drinking more water, is there anything naturally that you recommend in addition to the herb milk thistle?
Well, let's ask a little different question here. First of all, what offending drug are we talking about? What are you taking it for? And how high are your liver enzymes?
It's actually for a friend of mine, and it's they're on Tregasil. It's the new cancer drug that's supposed to be
So a chemotherapeutic agent. Okay. So they don't dare lower the dose because they need the full dose for the tumor. All right.
Right.
Well, and I think they've lowered the dose a little, but and amazing. This drug is just amazing for reducing the cancer lesions. It's just amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it is raising those numbers. And I was just trying, I try to help her any way I can and try to coming up with, and you guys have always been so incredible on your information and thoroughness of explaining it all. So you think, because I think she does a coffee.
Okay, good. That's kind. A good thing.
So,
coffee cleanses are good. And also, I'm fond of just plain water, ginger, honey, lemon. So ginger and lemon may be also a good thing if you're trying to encourage her to drink more water. Beetroot juice, that's also another thing if vasodilatation is not.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the milk thistle, is that in a form of is that a cleanse,
I usually use the capsules.
Yeah, it comes as capsules.
Yeah, and they can buy different concentrations. We unfortunately don't carry, we probably should, Jerry. We don't carry one in our clinics, but we can, I send them out and they buy either just a plain milk thistle, which is what I recommend, but sometimes they'll find a combination, a liver cleanse outside. And if it's a reputable company, then I say, okay, go ahead with that. But usually you're looking for milk thistle.
I get mine off Amazon.
Yeah.
Why don't you send a note to Michelle?
Okay.
About the milk thistle.
Let me do that.
We're looking at putting the vitamin D and K2 together too.
Okay, then the other one I want is some digestive enzymes.
Okay.
And do they do kind of like, I think she does like a coffee enema type of?
Yeah, they talk about that. I'm not very knowledgeable on those, but I know that there are people that do that. and they've been quite successful. But unfortunately, my
no personal experience.
Well, no knowledge also of success or not with it.
And do they do the same type of thing with milk thistle? I mean, or is that something that you just take
it's just
internally?
A pill. Yeah, it's just a pill.
Okay. Oh, that's great. Well, thank you so much. It's just really helpful. I know she wouldn't call on her own, so I just wanted to get a little bit more information. Thank you so much,
Happy
guys.
To help, ma'am. Yeah. Take care.
Good luck to your friend.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Monica, for the call. Headed to Gig Harbor, we have Tim waiting on the line. Thank you, Tim. Welcome to our show.
Hello, Tim.
Thank you very much. I got three questions real quick. I'm going to be traveling to the Caribbean and then going over to Europe. Anyways, should I get the RSV vaccination?
You sound like you're a man of some mature years. So, yes.
70.
Yeah, you know, RSV booster in people over 70 is probably a good idea.
Okay.
And then, Samara, you have a suggestion or two for him?
Well, yeah, because you'll be traveling internationally. I got sick on a plane. I got COVID, and I wish I had gotten my IV therapy before I left. I learned, and I did it after I came back, but it just ruined my trip for me. So, fluids, immune system boosters, whatever you can do to keep your immune system robust.
Okay, should I get a COVID vaccine? I know it's a tough one.
Have you
in your age group? Yeah. It's
have you gotten awesome. COVID recently?
I'm 72 today. Is my birthday?
Uh-huh. Oh, happy birthday, Tim!
Thank you. I've had COVID twice. The first time it felt like a teeny cold. The second time it felt like a pretty strong cold.
Mm-hmm. When was the
and
last?
When
time?
Was the last infection? Yeah.
Oh, about a year ago.
About a year ago. Okay. See, the natural immunity from COVID lasts about 13 months or so. The shots give you protection for about 5 months, and the infection gives you a protection for a little over a year. So the infection is twice as good as a shot, but it's still not perfect.
Have you had any of the COVID shots before?
Yes.
And did they cause any problems for you?
No.
Okay, I would go ahead and do it, I think.
Because he's about at that break point. Yeah. Yep.
My last question is, I know we're running out of time. My GP, I told him when I was taking testosterone, and he flipped out. And he said, you have to stop it immediately.
Why?
And I said, well, I've been for 15 years. Yeah, I know. Whatever. And whatever.
Yeah.
And I know it. So, anyways, I'm taking 100, let's see, what is it? 100 milligrams of testosterone Versa. Is that a decent dose?
Well, it depends on what's in your bloodstream. Mm. You know, it's how much of the cream you apply, which skin you apply it to, and how well you absorb the VersaBase as a base. You know, we check our guys every 3 months so that we can keep them where they need to be. So I strongly disapprove of using drugs like testosterone and only checking them once a year or so. I think that's foolish.
All right. I agree. I go in a lot and pay out of pocket to every 4 months to get my blood work done and compare it. I do that every 4 months.
All right.
So, I just pay for it. No big deal. Yeah.
Well, the advantage, of course, is if you are a patient at Longevity, when you become our patient, you get unlimited blood work for these hormones at no extra cost.
I will be looking into that. I will call on Monday.
All right,
Tim.
Take care, sir. Bye-bye.
Very good. Yeah. And we have Charlie and Warren on the line.
All right. You know, the thing that people should know is I have my own lab, and that means I can do as much lab work as I want and the cost is almost zip. And so our patients get unlimited lab work for anything I can do in our lab at no extra cost. And if they need it every week, they need it every week, every month, every 3 months, doesn't matter.
There you go.
So
another reason to call and make that appointment for a health analysis, a free health analysis. 866-86-YOUNG. Did you get that number, Tim? 866-86-YOUNG. You can also set up an appointment online at lmclinic.com.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
Do you like chestnuts?
Jack Frost
nipping. You know, I tried them in Italy, and I'm like, are you kidding? You know, maybe with some honey and a little maple syrup and some seasonings, but these were
bit of cinnamon on
these
them.
Were right off the roaster, and I was like, so yes, I did try them, and they just don't. You know, I think they sound better in a song.
They sound better.
They do.
Yeah. Well, you know, we had a little misadventure with chestnuts once upon a time. Bandine and I, shortly after she came to America, were on one of our long hikes, and we came across this beautiful spreading chestnut tree, and there were chestnuts all over the ground. Oh, and we said, wow,
look
chestnuts,
at this.
Let's take these home.
Yeah.
Inedible, because it turns out they're horse chestnuts.
Oh, yes, that's true, yes.
You brought them home for your horse.
Horses will eat them.
They will eat them.
Squirrels love them.
Oh.
But they are totally impossible for a human being to eat.
Yes, ooey. Okay, and I had to go all the way to Italy with my family husband's family that said, oh, have you ever tried these? And I'm like, no.
I had some Iwajamaya a couple of years ago. We're actually pretty good.
Okay.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. So
There you go. I have done them.
A little bit of soy sauce on it.
Yeah, there you go. Maybe that's what they needed. We are headed to Stanwood now.
Okay.
Warren. Hi there, Warren. Have you been through the lights of Christmas yet?
I have not yet.
Okay, you're going to have to drive through, see the beautiful lights in Stanwood there at Warm
Beach
Camp.
They're very nice.
Oh, so nice. Hey, welcome.
Thank you. I have a torn medial meniscus in my right knee from 1984, and they went in and scoped it, and they kind of cleaned it up, and I've been living with it. And then in 2015, I had to have an ACL, so they put a cadaver ACL in it. And that's worked quite nicely, but I'm now having, you know, pain with that torn medial meniscus. And I saw a knee doctor the other day, and I questioned him about having a cadaver, maybe a meniscus replacement, if that's even done. And then I questioned him about umbilical cord stem cell, and also, you know, normal, I guess, stem cell, whatever that is. And he blew those two things off because, well, it doesn't get blood flow, so, you know, it won't work or whatever. And then I'm going, well, it didn't never had blood flow to begin with.
Yeah, and it grew.
How did God make it?
Yeah, that's right.
And so I'm just wondering, is there a cadaver meniscus replacement?
I don't know. That's, you know, that... I have some patients that are orthopedic surgeons. So if one of you orthopods is listening and wants to call in and tell me about the possibility of a cadaver meniscus replacement, feel free.
I think my son had that.
Oh, really?
It was on his meniscus, and it was either something with a pig, perhaps, or a cadaver.
Yeah.
And he was talking about that, and I'm not sure. So
I don't know. Yeah. I do know, though, that there are some stem cell repairs being done. Now, not the umbilical cell, the umbilical cords, because those are not live stem cells. Okay. So let me give you a little education on stem cells for orthopedics, right? The frozen stuff that you can buy from, they get it from placenta or from umbilical cords and stuff. Those are not actually stem cells. They're often called stem cells, but they're exosomes. They're exosomes that are harvested from the stem cells that are grown in broth. Now the exosomes are very useful, but not for that particular purpose. And that's because the exosomes are so small, they won't stay where you put them. you inject them into the knee, and in a matter of minutes, they've spread over the entire body. And so you can't really get exosomes to stay in one spot to heal the repair. Stem cells, on the other hand, will stay pretty much where you put them. But the only stem cells we can use in the United States right now are your own. And we either take it out of your bone marrow or out of your abdominal fat. Okay, either one. And actually, the abdominal fat is the only place in the human body that has more stem cells as you get old than when you're young. Every other site of stem cells in your body decreases with age. You get fewer stem cells and they become less active, but except for fat. Fat is the only human tissue that actually gets better stem cells with age.
Wow. Which, yeah. Is that the only thing in the plus category of fat?
I guess, yeah. Because, you know, before, stem cells from fat for joints were a real pain to use. You had to go through multiple steps to get them out of the fat because the fat just contaminated them and it was greasy and yada, yada. So most people were using bone marrow stem cells. And that's what Dan Nelson does. He's been taking it out of your bone marrow, isolating the stem cells, and then putting them in the joint. And he's done that for my hip twice with very, very nice results. So I can't recommend Dan doing your own bone marrow. But Dan tells me, he and I were chatting this just day before yesterday, about they've got a new device now that can isolate the abdominal stem cells quickly in a single step. And so he's using now, depending on what he's trying to repair, either bone marrow or abdominal stem fat cells, one or the other. And he's doing them both. Of interest, however, he had commented that our patients, whenever he treated our patients, they tended to do far better than ordinary people. And I think we found out why.
Okay.
And that is that testosterone increases stem cell numbers and health in bone marrow. Mm. And since he was using bone marrow for his cells, our patients that were on testosterone had better stem cell load and healthier stem cells than other people. Mm. Now, we've got studies that show that testosterone increases stem cell density and health in bone marrow. We don't know is, does it also help other places? And I suspect it helps stem cells in your entire body, because when you have a good testosterone and androgen load, you make more muscle, you make more ligament, you make more tendon, you make all the connective tissues.
You're decreasing inflammation.
You're decreasing inflammation. My guess is that in addition to bone marrow, we're probably increasing our total body stem cell load.
But
I don't have a paper to prove that one yet, but I do know that it raises stem cell load in the bone marrow. So Dan Nelson's a guy I think you ought to call about that knee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that's interesting, because I just started testosterone shots.
Okay, well, I don't like the shots, but I'll talk to you about that one another week. So, okay, because we're about out of time. But yeah, I think there's better ways to do testosterone than shots. So, but we'll get to that later. But call Dr. Dan Nelson. You want to give him the number?
Yep. Here is Dr. Dan.
I dialed it and got their answering service, and I've got it in my phone now.
Good.
Very
All
good.
Right.
And good. You can go to his website too, which is danielnelsonmd.com.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. You guys
thank
have
you
a great
for the,
Christmas.
Take care, sir. Bye-bye.
Great call there, Warren. All right, that's it. Don't think we can quite get to our next caller. So, Charlie, why don't you call and be first on our list next week when we are back in the studio with Dr. Mixon. Oh, another very busy show today, and let's quickly mention the special that we've got going on in with the IV therapies.
Yeah, there's a discount if you buy a package of three IV therapies, and the beauty about it is you can give it as a gift.
Yes.
So longevity patients get a better discount than non-longevity patients. Actually, the discount is the same, it's just that non-longevity patients pay a little bit more Usually anyways, because we discount services to longevity patients. And then you can share with family and friends as needed, or you can save them for yourselves. Mm-hmm. So you buy a package of three, you get a $100 discount, and it's only in Kirkland Clinic, and anybody can buy it.
Wonderful. So you can find out more about that. And you can also get in on our free health analysis appointment and begin the new year stronger and leaner. And what else, Dr. Mixon?
Stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier, and happier.
Yes, make that appointment. Find out what you can do and what you're needing to do to get healthier in this new year. Here's that number to call. It's 866-86-YOUNG. Or online, you can go to lmclinic.com. All right? We'll be back in the studio next week live. You have a wonderful rest of your weekend. And we'll see you next time right here on Leading Edge Medicine. Thank you for listening.